From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 5th in the year of our Lord 2018. Wow. In the year of our Lord 2018, this is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir. All right, we can't hear Kurt. We'll try to get him back. The good chair's with us. Welcome back, Richard Mack.
Well, thanks, Sam. It's good to be here. And it's a bright, wonderful, what's the name of the book?
Fast and Furious?
Fire and Fury.
The new book.
Oh, Fire and Fury. Now we can hear Kurt, too. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so Fire and Fury. By the way, did you go after the signatures with Fire and Fury, sir?
Did I see the what?
They go after the signatures. You had to get a bunch of signatures turned in, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I've been doing, you bet.
How close are you?
About halfway there.
Do you got time?
Yeah, it all has to be in by the 10th.
Are they going to commit vote fraud?
I don't know. I think most of the guys in there are pretty decent people, and I don't believe they would do that, but, of course, I don't know them all that well, and I don't know the system very well. I do know that the Secretary of State, who's in charge of elections, has had some problems, and she's even being sued over mishandling elections. But anyway, we'll see.
The reason I asked the question is because Donald shut down his vote fraud commission. Did you see that?
That he shut down vote fraud?
Well, the vote fraud commission that he had, he shut down.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have Homeland Security work on that.
Yeah, and I'm also concerned about Jeff Sessions' war on marijuana. You know, he obviously doesn't understand the 10th Amendment or states' rights or who's actually in charge in this government. That the he's but fallen prey to the propaganda that the federal government is supreme to the states. And I really don't care if people smoke marijuana. In fact, I prefer that they do not. I think it's up to anybody else, though, to make that decision for themselves, especially medical marijuana. But Jeff Sessions, for being an attorney general, has absolutely no clue what the separation of powers is or what federalism is, and it just reinforces my belief that Trump made a horrible mistake in picking that man to be AG.
Well, and some are saying that Donald's, ought to get rid of him, or that, you know, they're pushing for him to be impeached or to be removed, et cetera. You know, I don't know where that's all going to go.
Well, I guarantee you I'm going to say that in my campaign.
That he needs to be let go?
Yes.
All right. So Jeff Sessions needs to be let go. Boy, do I agree with that. In fact, the sad part is Sessions has been kind of a swamp monster forever. He's been in the swamp for a long time.
Yeah, he has. And
not as long as my senator, but hey.
I thought he was going to be pretty good when he was senator, and he was fighting illegal immigration. He had sheriffs show up, and we paid, CSPOA paid for five sheriffs across the country to attend his news conference about the dangers of illegal immigration. And then I tried to talk to him about a year and a half ago, and his office was the only one that basically kicked me out.
Thanks, Jeff. That ought to build courage, huh?
Yeah, I know. My faith and trust in him has really waned quite a bit.
Now, there's a big brawl between Steve Bannon and Donald Trump. Donald Trump trashing Steve Bannon, saying he lost his job, he lost his mind. Steve Bannon saying, look, these lower-level officials literally met with the Russians. It was ill-advised at the least. Could rise to the level of treason. There's a book coming out about it, but Donald's freaking out and attacking Bannon. But Bannon responds kindly and says, Donald Trump is a good man, and I support his agenda every day.
Yeah, yeah. you have to kind of wonder, after you call somebody a traitor, or that the organization was treasonous, or whoever did it was a traitor, if you commit treason, you're a traitor. So, you know, Bannon says that and then wants to come out and say how great a guy he is. You know, the bottom line, it comes back to Trump, whether it was Trump who did it or whoever did it. And Steve Bannon should have just left it at that, that it was ill-advised. Talking to other officials from other countries is not treason.
Yeah, and I mentioned that. I don't think it rises to that level. The only reason I would hold off the discussion on that is because we don't have the internal details of what was said, what was committed to, what was done.
Yeah, the book is out today. You know that, right?
Yeah. However, I will say this. I don't think it closely rises to the level of treason at all. I do think it was probably an ill-advised meeting given the circumstances, though.
Well, you know, if having some of your staff speak with a foreign official from Russia, what is it then when Obama gives $10.5 billion to Iran and basically gives them permission to make nuclear weapons?
Well, one is conversation that might have been better timed after he won the presidency and not done at all. In other words, ill-advised. The other one is literal criminal activity, sir.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if you want to name a book something with fury, why don't you just go, as you alluded to earlier, Fast and Furious. If anybody wrote a book about that, Obama and Holder would look like traitors and criminals, and they would be, and they should be charged. In fact, I was reviewing some of my interviews with Judge Napolitano last night as I'm getting ready to make some quotes on my website for what people have said about me. And we talked about Fast and Furious on the program, and it was a violation of international law. It was involved murder. It involved conspiracy, perjury at the highest levels of our government. And again, not even a congressional hearing, no investigation, and no accountability. In fact, the way that this whole thing ended was Obama declared executive privilege on the issue, and it was completely dropped at that point.
Kurt, isn't this where you're supposed to say, other than that, it's not so bad?
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, there you go, Sam. Mm-hmm.
But again, where is the accountability? And the accountability for Hillary is interesting. I guess Hillary had a fire at her house. It was in the Secret Service quarters. I don't really understand how you have your residence in the Secret Service on your residence there. Is that commonly done?
I didn't know that it was, you know, but I'm not an expert on the Secret Service. But I did not know that was the case. I was actually surprised to know that.
Well, they could sure keep tabs on the comings and goings of good old Bill if they knew that. I mean, if they were there like that, you know.
Well, the Secret Service likes to hire out prostitutes, too. So.
Oh, yeah, I guess no problem. No harm, no foul for that.
That's why they like living with Bill.
Now, the interesting thing about it, though, is what an ill-timed fire, in my opinion.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, is it really a fire that happened there, or was it to cover up evidence or to derail the discussion, You wonder inside what was really happening there, because as far as I understand, Donald's supposed to be going after Hillary, right?
Well, if you really need to erase something, setting it on fire is not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's very strange timing to have a fire over there at Bill and Hillary's house, you know?
Well, yeah, and neither one of them were home.
Well, that's what they say. At one point they said neither one of them was home. It wasn't in the residence quarters. It was in the Secret Service area or building or something like that. And then they said, well, we weren't sure who was home or not. I mean, there's all kinds of conflicting details surrounding it, too, which is strange.
Right.
Well, where do we go from here? Do you think Donald will weather the storm, or do you think he'll be taken down? I think Steve Bannon's kind of saying Donald's a good guy at the top, but you know what? Some of his underlings, Jared Kushner and some of these other people, are a bad element. I think that's what Steve's trying to say.
I think he is too, but look, this book is to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to make money, and it's going to make huge money because every Democrat or everybody who hates Trump's going to go buy that book. In fact, they already are.
Yeah, I think they're going to buy two copies just because.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All the media is already buying it up. And, you know, then they'll promote the book. Every word from the liberal media is going to get people to go buy that book. And the Donald Trump haters, which there are millions and millions of, are going to go buy that book. Steve Bannon, I'm sure, is going to make some money off of it. But anyway, for him to do what he did, to all of a sudden now he is anti-Trump or whatever, anti-Trump campaign. If he really felt that and he was an honorable person, he should have come out with that then. There should be a record of him telling them, you cannot do this.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. The good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack, with us. He's running for Congress in Arizona. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, this Lee Gortman chick that supposedly Roy Moore molested when she was 14 is now livid. She's going to sue. So she's suing Roy Moore, and she says she doesn't want any money. What she really wants is a public apology. And so there's a lawsuit about this, and that's going to go kind of strange too, Sheriff.
Yeah, it is.
Comment on this one?
I really, really feel sorry for Roy Moore. He's been through an awful lot.
She's alleging defamation, and she says she doesn't want any money, or claims doesn't want money, but wants a public apology from him. I don't know how you're going to get a public apology with a lawsuit.
Well, I mean, he could already come out and say that, obviously. But, you know, how's she going to prove that it happened or didn't happen? How's he going to prove that it did or didn't happen? And so...
Well, here's the question. Does he have to prove it did or didn't happen, or does she have to prove it happened?
You know, she's the one that came out and said the comments. And so if she doesn't have any proof, I think she's going to be the one that is going to be left hanging on this issue. So go to court on defamation. If any of it is true, then you don't have a case. But also, if you don't have a reputation to begin with, you don't have a case. So I can't damage your reputation if you're not already a reputable person. And so they can bring up all sorts of stuff, and they can go digging in her past. And you know, if she ever committed a shoplifting, or she ever pilfered something at work, or if she ever got fired, or if she ever had cheated in school or whatever, they can go after her on every bit of that.
And anyway, I don't know where that goes. I just don't see what the value for Lee is. Maybe it's a save face idea, and I just don't get it.
I think she's crazy, and they can probably prove that just by filing such a ridiculous lawsuit, because she knows she cannot prove any of these accusations against Judge Moore, and not only that, the little evidence that did come out has proved to be bogus, like the yearbook from high school where he supposedly signed it. You know, Gloria Allred didn't come out and say, yeah, we got the proof of this, and yes, it was your signature, and all of a sudden, for the first time, Gloria Allred has ever been a public figure, she has shut her mouth. And I thought that would have given Judge Moore enough credibility to win the election after that happened. But
then if you believe Steve Bannon says, you know where this is going, it's going to money laundering. And the question becomes, how up and down the chain does the money laundering go?
Wait. What is money laundering?
Well, Steve Bannon says the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians is money laundering. And so if you have the, Hillary Clinton giving uranium, 20% of the uranium to the Russians, and then you have Donald Trump's staff involved in money laundering with the Russians, and it's on all sides of the aisle, and then we shut down the vote fraud, thing along with a fire at the same time, along with, you wonder how connected all this really becomes.
Yeah, you do wonder. And
I know that sounds like, oh, Sam, you're just pulling crazy strings that don't have any relationship to each other. And my response is, I'm not so sure that's true. It seems to be a coordinated, very strange thing where there's big money, there's control, there's compromise, there's the Russians, there's, in other words, foreign governments, there's, and even when they couldn't pin the tail on the donkey when it comes to Roy Moore, they even went back into his past and tied him to going to a foreign country for kind of a sabbatical for a while. I mean, it gets crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And it is crazy, and it's astonishing how far the tentacles of this corruption go. And as I said on your show before, we don't even know 10% of it. I think it's much, much worse. I think the American people are going to finally get fed up with this, and you alluded to this too, that there's going to be a bunch of arrests soon. I'm not sure about that. Washington, D.C. is so insulated and so protected, and they even guard each other. I mean, even the Democrats and Republicans will only go so far to go after each other, because pretty soon they know it's going to come right back to me. And so I think they're careful with that, and I just don't see anybody really taking a fall for any of this. If Trump...
Well, hold on. When you say anybody taking a fall, this is what I mean by the strange web we weave, because I think there might be a couple of people that are going to take the fall, and it might be the Bundys. Now the judge is planning to look at retrying them. The prosecution's pushing for a retrial. Kurt's got a headline about ranchers defeat Big Brother in property rights fight. Kurt, Bob Unruh with this one?
Yeah, there's an occasional win here and there. And
well, maybe. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, good point. Bob Unruh, WorldNet Daily, headline, like Sam said, ranchers defeat Big Brother in property rights fight. Say ranching families celebrating a decision that hands the federal government a loss and them victory in a dispute over access to natural water sources on federal lands on which they've been grazing livestock since the 1800s. Now, the details of the victory for the Sacramento Grazing Association, it's a ranching company owned by James and Francis Goss, were outlined by the Heartland Institute, good folks there. The ranching company dates back to 1885, but in the 1980s, the U.S. Forest Service started fencing off some water sources. Sources the Sacramento Grazing Association long had used in the Lincoln National Forest to protect, they say, a species of thistle called the Sacramento Mountains thistle. Man, it's just more wacky stuff. But anyway, in the end, at least they say they won, but I would say...
And I want to know what they mean by they won. Let me give you some examples. The Bundys won,
good
right?
Good point.
Not guilty, mistrials, da-da-da, but they keep coming after them. I don't know if we've seen the end of this yet. I pray we have the truth, but Donald could get involved. He's doing nothing. As he pretends to lock up Hillary, he does nothing to defend the Bundys. Donald Trump should be literally looking into this case big time. I see nothing on it so far. Now, you go back to the Hague family, the Wayne Hague family, and Ramona Hague is the one carrying on the fight to this day. They even had the government accused by the judge of racketeering, and they won their case, but the government just doesn't even obey the law, Sheriff. So I'm a little concerned when I see these headlines that somebody wins. I don't know what win means anymore.
Yeah, and then there was some stuff that later on that actually looked like the government won another round after the Hague family won on their ranching dispute. And that's been going on for 35 years now, probably about 37 years. And it's just, to me, it's just amazing. How does a government take a case and keep going after somebody for 37 years?
Easy. They have plenty of money.
You know, I know. And, you know, this thing should have been settled. And that's what worries me about the Bundys, is that they're just going to keep going around and around and around. I think, though, that the Bundys have had so much press now and so much obvious public attention on the criminality of this prosecution that it's going to have a hard time going forward. And as I said before, if I were the federal prosecutors, I'd be offering all the Bundys and every one of those people, the people who've already been put in prison, I'd be offering everybody, look, we'll give you a free card out, get out of jail free thing, and no more prosecutions and no more nothing, and here's a little reimbursement for your time, and you have to promise not to sue us, and that's the deal. Everybody gets out, everybody's record is expunged, and sorry about all this. Well, they will never say sorry, but anyway, we just want this to go away, and if everybody promises to just go away, then you're in. We're in.
Well, while that's going on, Chelsea Clinton is wishing the Church of Satan a Happy New Year.
Oh, good for her. Good grief.
So there you go. I mean, you can't talk about God or you're a racist or something like that, or a bigot and whatever. And she literally wished the Church of Satan a Happy New Year. I guess it was like on Twitter or whatever, and she's just like loving it and having this chat with the Satanists and stuff like that. And but I look at it and I say, if Donald Trump has ties to the Russians in some way, if Hillary Clinton has ties to the Russians in some way, if the uranium deal related to the land the Bundys are involved in, and international agreements and giving away of resources is really at the heart of this case, as Pete Santilli and others have documented so well, then you kind of wonder, really, are the only ones that are going to get the prosecution in this thing the Bundys and Roy Moore, and everybody else is going to go scot-free?
Well, it sounds like that might be the case, but I...
And I know it sounds like none of these topics are related, but I'm convinced somehow they all are in some weird way. I don't know that I understand how yet, but I'm just telling you that you got Roy Moore and the Bundys on the ropes. Everybody else seems to be sitting pretty. Sheriff Mack with us in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's kosher-tified.com.
A Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. I've mentioned over the years that we really have trouble with people putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to news and reporting and radio and TV and newspapers and whatever the case may be. Standing for the cause of liberty, when we want our guys to get elected, they struggle to get a penny. Hopefully Richard Mack can get enough money to be a real contender in Arizona there. But the reason I bring this up right now is, do you know who Peter Thiel is, Richard?
Peter Thiel?
No, Thiel.
What's the last name?
Oh, I don't know how to say it. Isn't it Thiel?
I don't.
T-H-I-E-L. You say that however you want. I think it's Thiel.
I guess I don't know it.
All right. Peter Thiel, Kurt, do you know this guy?
Well, I know of him. I've read a lot about him.
Yeah, give us a 30-second on who Peter Thiel is.
Libertarian guy that bought... Right. I think he bought a whole bunch of, he wanted to make an island out in the sea?
Yeah, he's a big tech insider guy, made all his money in Silicon Valley. The guy's very wealthy,
PayPal
was involved
stuff,
in the creation
right?
of PayPal, and has funded some opportunities for education and stuff like that, too. I don't know that I agree with him on everything, but he was a big Trump backer, and the tech world just went after him like crazy,
the
and
homosexual?
He stood his ground. He is a homosexual, from what I understand. So, you know, very strange mixed character. However, he has a lot of money, and he puts his money where his mouth is, and he did. He wanted to create a libertarian, not an island, Kurt, but a libertarian boat that would float around in the sea and be kind of a government of its own.
Yeah, and, free there. Or...
So we talked about that. So he's done a lot of interesting things, including backing Trump. The reason I bring him up now, though, is I guess this guy is mulling the creation of a Fox News competitor. So talk about putting your money where your mouth is. What do you think of that, Sheriff?
Well, tell him I'm interested in becoming an announcer or an analyst or commentator.
How are you going to do that if you go to Washington as a congressman?
Well, you do it all together. You do it from your office. You know, you just use Audio Compass and you can report.
You'd be like, hey, this is Congressman Mack broadcasting live from Capitol Hill.
That's right.
On the Thiel's broadcasting replacement for Fox.
Well, hey, it worked for
Chaffetz.
Chaffetz, that's the one, Jeff.
Well, yeah, now here's the interesting thing about this whole discussion. Peter is a supporter of Donald. Donald is sick of the media, but Donald's defended Fox quite a bit. So I don't know how all this will break down, but I'm telling you right now, if anybody Trump-wise or those kind of connections or Peter Thiel, these guys have a lot of money. They could actually make it happen, folks. So we'll see. Any comments on this, Kurt?
Well, I see there's a Newsweek piece on Peter Thiel says he's reportedly looking to launch, you know, talking about this network thing that you you mentioned. Newsweek's got a piece on it.
Yeah, you know where this information came from, right?
Where you got it? You
mean? Well, in general, where the source of all these news stories are coming from. In excerpts from the Michael Wolff book we've been talking about that's released today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. It looks like he's, reportedly in touch with the Mercer family, you know, and those are guys that are big investors in Breitbart, you know, so you're just talking about competition in the media, huh, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Peter Thiel gave $2 million to contender Carly Fiorina, and then he soon switched his allegiance to the Donald.
Now he's placed a big bet on Bitcoin, according to CBS News as well. They say the fund that he manages invested some $15 to $20 million in the so-called cryptocurrency in mid 2017. Made a big bet on it now worth a little more.
Oh, yeah. You know, people are making wise bet on Bitcoin, and I'm not saying you can't, you know what, participate in the modern-day digital gold rush, because you can, and people do quite well doing it. I just don't think it's what we ought to be chasing after, though. I'm not a gold digger.
Good point.
I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that somebody can't, you know, time it just right and do well, but just as you can time it right and do well, you can time it wrong and do poorly. Just as much so as chasing the money. I guess I'm saying I believe in other pursuits to be more important. That's just my opinion. Do you want to sound off on this Bitcoin stuff, Sheriff? What do you think?
Well, I've never really trusted it, but because it's just a cyber currency, and I don't get really how it works. I know I have a lot of friends that have tried to get me into it, and I haven't ever done it. Obviously, I wished I had about 5 years ago. If I'd have put, what, $300 into it 5 years ago, I guess maybe somebody could figure out how rich I would be today. But you could say the same thing. You know, my government teacher in college told some of the class to invest in General Electric and Coca-Cola. And that's at the time when the stock market was at about 800, not 8,000, 800. And so obviously if I had done that and held on to it for about 20 years, I'd probably be as rich as I was and could have been in Bitcoin. You know, I think you're right. I think it's very iffy. I believe that the stock market is gambling, even though it does have a strong track record, especially now. But if you look at over the years, the stock market has continued to climb, except for a little hiccup at 1929. But it's even then, it rebounded and came back. And every time there's been a downturn in the stock market, it has always rebounded, always. And but I still believe it's gambling. Is it immoral? No, I don't believe it is. I don't really believe that gambling is immoral. I believe that people have to be careful, and I don't think you're a bad person because you gamble. I don't think you're evil because you gamble. But I think it can lead to some problems. I think drinking can lead to some serious problems, but I don't necessarily believe it's immoral.
I personally think on this that, you know, the problem is it's where does your heart lie? What is your goal? What is your – and I think whenever you go chasing after the – hey, you know, you kind of have this idea, hey – there's women, whiskey, and gold in them hills. You know, what are you chasing? What are you spending your time on? What are you spending your heart on?
Right.
What is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? And I guess I'm saying I just don't go chase after that. I don't wish I invested in Bitcoin 5 years ago. Let's say all of a sudden Sam Bushman had $10 million. Is that really going to help me? You could say, well, yeah, Sam, you could. Hey, the country song says, you know, they say money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. Okay, this is a country song that kind of articulates this, but I don't really see the value there. And what I mean by that is yes, it would be nice and solve some issues possibly, but it would also create a ton of other issues for me too. Now I got to decide what I'm going to do with all this money and how I'm going to protect my assets and how I'm going to make sure that I don't lose my wealth and how I'm going to babysit all the things that I decide to buy. And pretty soon,
all the phone calls of friends asking you for money.
You know, yeah. And which ones am I going to support and when and why and how? And so I guess what I'm saying is I'm just not so sure that that's the value proposition that it's made out to be, even if you got lucky and scored big.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys know it, but I'll tell you what. Freedom is breaking out big time. Yeah, the headline, Oregon now lets you pump your own gas. Some people
fantastic.
Are losing it.
You can get out of your car and work when somebody else used to work for you, right?
Yeah, you
all by government
edict,
you know?
In Oregon. I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. It's a new day.
Well, we've changed Oregon, service stations into gas stations is what we've done. Now, I personally don't think that we ought to have any law about this at all. If somebody believes they can, you know, charge a penny or two more a gallon and people will come for the service and somebody will check your tires and check your oil and wipe your windows and pump your gas and make nice conversation and do a good job. And that's one way that somebody wants to garner, create a service station as opposed to a gas station. And the other guy's, look, I'm the gas lowball leader guy. I just think the government needs to stay out of it and let everybody do whatever the heck they want. And you know what? People will build a line to whatever gas station they feel like has the best gas trap. I mean, anyway, right?
Yeah, they were talking about it up there in Oregon. You know, it's big news, Sam. I mean, you don't have room in the Associated Press to talk about, you know, like fixing America or whatever. Replacing getting out of the Federal Reserve, getting rid of the income tax. No space there, but you can talk about this. One lady said she felt unsafe leaving her vehicle at the gas station with transients around. Another one said, I don't even know how to pump gas, and I'm 62, a native Oregonian. I say no thanks. I don't want to smell like gasoline. So I tell you what, some big in-depth research and news coming from the Associated Press. You know,
think
right
we're
going to
make it through this, Sheriff?
That's a darn good question, but yes, I do.
All right, just wanted to make sure because I mean, could you imagine, you know, running around smelling like gas and pumping your own, getting out of your car and you know?
Well, I siphoned gas illegally once. That happened to me.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
See, you're one of them.
You were smelling like gas after that.
Right? All right, hang tight. Sam, Kurt, and the good sheriff in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
I guess the FBI is looking into Clinton Foundation probe and emails again, Sheriff. I got a question.
Yeah?
Why would we trust them this time? No, I'm serious. Probably, I mean, no offense, but what are they going to do this time different? Let's say they come to a different conclusion, then what?
That's a $66,000 question, Sam. Why we keep turning to these corrupt bureaucracies in Washington, D.C., to finally do something right. It boggles the mind. It makes you wonder. The FBI did become a very reputable organization there for a while, but they became very Washington, D.C.ized, especially right after Hoover got out of there. And it's just another political bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., and I'm sorry, the DEA and FBI and Secret Service have all lost a lot of credibility over the years, primarily because of leadership. I'm not saying some good people are not in there. They are. They have lots of good people. But they also have lots of people who have committed crimes and have, just like the IRS, been used for subversive and criminal intentions, especially by the president. Nixon even had the CIA and Secret Service, not Secret Service, the FBI, the FBI and CIA going pitting against each other, and he pitted them against each other during the Watergate scandal, which, by the way, pales in comparison to a lot of the scandals that went on during the Obama administration and that have happened with Hillary Clinton. So, and Bill Clinton, obviously. But, you know, why the FBI would now all of a sudden be trusted to redo an investigation or do it again or whatever, you know, might as well give them a chance. But, you know, I've said for a long time that the FBI needs a check and balance on what they do. And that
it, well, let's just stop for a second and say, why do we need a check and balance when it's unconstitutional? You just got to get rid of it.
Well, there are five law enforcement authorities granted in the Constitution and are delegated to the federal government.
Yeah.
And certainly they have the prerogative to create law enforcement agencies to handle those five things. But the concept...
So what are the five things, and does the FBI deal with those five things effectively?
No, they don't. And they have... Well, one of those law enforcement authorities is protecting the border. And so you can tell how well they've done there. The other one is counterfeiting. So they do have...
So my question is then, who's responsible for that, the FBI or the Border Patrol?
Well, it's actually Border Patrol. But if there was other crimes that occurred there, they could bring in another agency, I guess, to back them up. But that's a stretch constitutionally.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't need two agencies doing that one assignment.
That's my point, is that...
But let's say that across the border that they find a crime that a syndicate or something that entered into the country from the border or from the, whatever countries in Latin America or Canada, and the Border Patrol needed backup and say, hey, look, we stay at the border. We need some other follow-up agency to do some of this and work with local agencies to get this information to them, blah, blah, blah.
That's called the Immigration Service, my friend.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many law enforcement agencies now in the federal government.
So I'm not denying that there's some legitimate constitutional things that can be addressed and that Congress has authority to create agencies
right.
to do so.
But they would be so small, Sam. They would all be so small because there's only five, and they've usurped about 5,000.
There you go.
And so Washington, D.C., of course, just seems to perpetuate that, and the corruption just perpetuates on top of that. So yeah, it's a mess, and to really drain the swamp would take really a lot of courage, and I'm not certain they have that courage there now. But I hope Trump will keep doing that. But you can't have Jeff Sessions in charge of some of that draining, and think that you're going to drain something because he just doesn't have the wherewithal, the courage, or the aptitude. To drain anything.
Can you name a single person around the Donald that's really a drain the swamp guy? like a hardcore drain the swamp guy, like a Sam Bushman might be, or a Richard Mack, or a Kurt Crosby, or a, who really truly is singularly focused on draining the swamp. Is there a single person you can look at there that you would say, "Hey, that guy is one of us. He'd get it done." Is there one?
I thought that Sheriff Clark was going to be that person, but I don't think he is.
I think he would actually get it done. I agree.
If he were assigned to do that, and if he were assigned to be the AG or the Homeland Security Director, I think he would, especially if he was given that order. If he was given that order, look, I want you to go after all corruption. I want you to go after all agencies. I want you to start cutting them. Clark would do it if he were given that assignment.
I agree with that.
The ones around him that I think are the best would be Ben Carson and the lady from Michigan. What's her name? The education lady that flies around
Betsy
on her own
DeVos.
Plane on her own dime. Yeah. You know, those would be the
I
most.
I agree with Kurt. Those are the two, but I don't really see them moving the needle, at least that I can find.
Well, she hasn't drained the swamp on education. You know.
Yeah, they could shut down the education department tomorrow, but I don't see it happening.
But and let's see, who are the two guys that you've worked with, Stone or Steele? Or
yeah, Roger Stone. Yep.
Roger Stone. Well, he didn't get a drain the swamp position, and then Steve Bannon. I thought that he really might be a butt kicker there and really drain the swamp. Obviously, that's been buried under the swamp.
They drained Steve, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, and you know, it looks like a lot of that was his. His own fault, but you know, there's been, I mean, how many different chiefs of staff have we had since Trump has been in there?
Oh man, it just goes on and on. The turnover is incredible. Who, you know, but who could work for the Donald though? I mean, he's your best friend one day, he's your worst enemy the next day. He preaches loyalty but sells you south in a second. I don't know what to think about it. By the way, do you know who Ajit Pai is?
Ajit Pai?
That's a person's name.
Yeah.
You know who that is, Kurt,
yeah.
Or was that your favorite?
Yeah. I know it. Well, I mean, I like cherry pie, but I just don't really like Ajit Pai. But this guy is the FCC commissioner, and that's an Indian name, I think.
Ajit Pai literally was forced to cancel an industry trade speech from the FCC over death threats.
Yeah, of the whole net neutrality deal, right?
So he is for getting rid of net neutrality. They hate him as a result. And all the net neutrality folks want to, you know, make death threats. So he had to cancel his speech. This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with in America. Where's Donald to speak out against this? I don't care if you agree or disagree with Ajit Pai. He ought to be able to at least speak.
Yeah, well, that's the freedom of choice. People don't really want to have you have that choice.
Well, I don't even know if I agree with Pai. I'd have to hear him speak and decide, you know. But all I'm telling you is I think you ought to be able to speak, even if I disagree with him.
Tell me what net neutrality means. Does net neutrality mean that the federal government
that
stay out? Or does it mean they're going to stay in and make sure it's all neutral?
Well, let's be clear about, you know, there's a gazillion definitions of this stuff, and it's very vague. The bottom line is this. Do you want the government, the decision maker, or the government to leave it to the free market? That's what the debate is. If you're for net neutrality, you're for the government being the deciding factor. If you're against net neutrality, you say leave the government out of it. The industry, the private sector can decide themselves, and there's courts for redress of grievances already in place. There's laws against discrimination already in place. Let's leave it to the private sector. That's the debate.
Okay. Well, that's why I was confused, because I kept hearing about it, and I even looked some of it up, and I thought, it's kind of like an oxymoron, or
that's exactly right. It is
negative and
intentionally so, and confusing on purpose. Bottom line is, if you're for net neutrality, you want the government to be the decider. If you're against net neutrality, which I'm against it, then you say I want the government to get out of it. Let the free market be the decider. If there's ever a problem, then there's courts and laws already on the books to deal with those problems. But let's not have the government supposedly be the decider of fairness, because the government never a good decider of fairness is the point.
Net neutrality sounds like what we want. We want neutral. We want everybody.
We want fairness. That's right. The problem is the issue is, can the government provide that better than the private sector? And the answer is clearly no.
No, of course not.
And that's the debate.
Yeah. And as soon as the government takes over the internet, then you're going to be paying taxes on it. Every time you use it, there's going to be fees, and there's going to be restrictions and censorship.
Well, and then the government's going to reward their friends like the IRS does. They're going to literally attack your enemies with it and reward their friends and you know, et cetera, et cetera. If Hillary Clinton wants access to the Internet more than Sam Bushman, then she gets it. And then when we bring it up, they're like, move along. There's nothing here kind of thing. All right. Last story before the end of the hour. I want to get your take on this, Sheriff. Are you feeling kind of old?
Yeah, 65 to be exact.
All right. Well, let's be clear. Let me tell you how you can feel younger. There's a new study out to tell you how to do this. Do you know what the answer is, Kurt? How you can feel younger, according to the new government study, Kurt?
Let's see. I don't know. You get fake ID?
No, dude.
Pay your taxes.
No, no, no. You got to act younger.
Oh,
well, you
got to
act younger.
Yes, sir. That you feel younger, you got to act younger.
My wife, so you start playing video games?
My wife says I try to act young all the time. She calls it immaturity.
Well, it ain't working for you then. You're not feeling younger because you're acting younger. You're just immature.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
wow.
There you go.
All right. Well, there you have it. Last question. What are we going to do to give you a chance to win in Arizona, Sheriff?
Well, I will tell you, I really liked your comment about put your money where your mouth is. And this is the truth. I spoke yesterday to a Tea Party group in Tucson doing a little fundraiser. And it's just, what would it mean to you to have somebody who has a record of standing for freedom and the Constitution and American ideals, such as I, to be in Congress? There was a few people there said, we absolutely want you to win, and they donated, and some donated the max, $2,700. You know what? I just told everybody, we're all in this together. This is not to get a job for Sheriff Mack. I don't need a job, and it's, quite honestly, it scares me to go to Washington. But I know I can do it.
Yeah, you might not be able to speak or you'd have to fear for your life.
Right, exactly. And so I pray that people will back me on this financially and I can really pull this off. And I can if we raise the money.
All right, there you have it. Our prayers are with a good sheriff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you to both of you, and Happy New Year.
Amen, sir. Final word's yours, Kurt.
God bless America, and let's put Sheriff Mack in Congress.
Amen to that. Yeah. By the way, this hour's live. Second hour's going to be rebroadcast. I got a business meeting to go to, but we'll be live on Monday. Have a delightful weekend. Please promote God, family, and country, and please support the Widow's Might Radio Network, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.